powerful that the time to use this name and
Holy Spirit, please help me.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the holy act of fellowship meals. The holy act of sitting down with someone for a meal. The holy act of sitting down with an enemy, eating together and understanding one another. Sitting down with my friends and my family and enjoying one another and just being human. The holy act of sitting down with someone and mentoring them over a glass of
water,
non-alcoholic wine and water and focaccia bread. Logan and I on Friday night we do a little Shabbat. We made focaccia, I'm pronouncing it right. And it was so wonderful just to from scratch to mix the flour together, turn it out, and to just prepare a meal and eat together. And so I grew up in a understanding of Christianity and being a Christian as quite narrow, and there were a number of practices that I needed to do to be a holy person. Number one, I needed to not dance. Number two, I needed to pray. I needed to read my Bible. I needed to, what are the other ones? I needed to be kind. I needed to fast. I needed to go to church every Sunday. I needed to, you all know this because you all grew up with this. And so there was the system of, if you want to be like Jesus, and if you want to be a strong follower of Jesus, these are the practices that you need to institute to be the man of God or the woman of God that God has called you to be. Not once did I ever hear a message about Jesus and the holy act of how much time he spent eating and drinking and fellowshipping with his disciples, with his enemies, the Pharisees and others, with the lowdowns, with the tax collectors, the SARS members. He went out onto a field. That's why I asked you, Vicky, if you knew what I was talking about. Because it's part of my message, is how he just went out onto a field and he preached. And we all know that, like, the kingdom of God is in our understanding, is to preach and proclaim the message. But he didn't just preach and proclaim. He preached and he proclaimed, and then he said, hey, let's give these guys something to eat. And so what we do is we have a sometimes Gnostic, over-spiritual approach to our faith, where to preach, to pray, to read my Bible, to do this is what it really means to be a man of God. But we've forgotten the humanity and the experience of sitting down with a meal with other people as a prophetic act for what is to come. And so when we look at what Jesus did in the New Testament, yes, we have the Gospels highlight his teachings, but the practice that he most often did was to eat and to drink with people. You ever thought about that? Yeah. And so it was, I don't have it now because my notes are gone, but in I think it's in Matthew 11 where he says, they described him as, stay away from that man Jesus. Why? Because he's just a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus was so social with so many different kinds of people that he was one of his life definition of what is that person like? Oh, he's just eating and drinking all the time. And so we if we are legalistic in our hearts here this morning, what I'm saying is going to rub you a little bit up the wrong way. But we must understand that if we want to follow Jesus and become more and more like Jesus, we actually need to not just pick and choose the things that we like about what he did and ignore the hard stuff. And so we're going to do something really hard after today. We're going to eat and drink to the glory of God. It's a joke, guys. One week of no church. And so Jesus was a socialite, but he wasn't a socialite. His main aim was not just to eat a lot and to drink too much. There was purpose in how Jesus went about distributing who he was and loving people. And the main way that he did that was through fellowship meals, eating with people, inviting him around for a meal. Maybe some of you think, well, you know, Mark, I can't tell anyone about Jesus. Well, can you cook?
Jacob has pre-cooked me.
Can you light a fire and have a bride? Why can't you invite someone that you really have a heart for in your community to come around for a meal and just talk? You see, we get this evangelism idea of something I've got to do, I've got to cite myself, and okay, what must I do? Realize, repent, receive. And it's just like, it's just unnatural. No. The way that Jesus reached people was sitting down at a meal with them to bring them the kingdom of God, to bring healing, to bring teaching. And so Jesus ate with all kinds of people. First of all, he ate with the wrong crowd. So who's the wrong crowd in your culture? Who's the wrong crowd in your neighborhood? Think about who that person is that you would never invite to a meal. And then that's the person that Jesus would have eaten with. Jesus would have gone down Military Road and found the ladies who are ladies of the night, and he would invite them, and or he would say, "Hey, would you come and have a meal with me, or could I come and have a meal with you?" That is the heart with which Jesus carried out this transformational practice of fellowship meals. Luke 15 verse 1 says, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners," so the worst people of the society, "were gathering around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Zacchaeus, one of the worst of the worst in his day, was so excited to see Jesus that he climbed up a tree and waited for this famous Messiah, this famous king to come. And Jesus looks up at him and says to him, "Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, because today I'm going to come to your house, I'm going to have a meal with you. We're going to have a bride. We're going to sit down and, I don't know if they probably didn't have rugby in those days, but I'm going to come into your home." What does he say? He's saying, "Zacchaeus, I know that you're disregarded and hated by the people. I know that you're disrespected and you feel all alone. I know that you're sinful and steal money as a tax collector from your people. But there's something I want to tell you, Zacchaeus. I accept and I love you as you are. I want to come into your house. I want to eat with you." And what is the outcome of that? Jesus never says to Zacchaeus, "Stop stealing from your own people." The outcome of that is at the end of the meal, Zacchaeus stands up and says, "Well, I'm going to give all that I have, all that I've taken back, and what is it, threefold or twofold, pay back to all those people that I have stolen from." And so Jesus says, "Well, the kingdom of God has come to the house." And the kingdom of God came to the house through a meal. You know, I don't have a microphone, but you never have microphones, so amen's always welcome. Jesus secondly ate with his enemies. Who's your enemy today? Who's that one person that you try and evade? Who's the one person or people that you rarely try and stay away from? Jesus sat down and ate with his enemies. "Mark, but you don't know what my boss is like. I would never invite that guy for a meal. He's so controlling." Well, what about the Pharisees and Jesus? They kept saying he was of the devil. They accused him at every turn. They went against everything that he did. And yet Jesus, in Luke 7, says he accepts an invitation to a Pharisee's home and he sits down for a meal. And as he sits down for the meal, this woman who is so broken comes in from the street with alabaster, a jar of perfume, and she sits at his feet and she begins to weep and she washes Jesus' feet with her hair and with her tears and with this perfume. And the Pharisees look at this. The Pharisee says, Luke 7 verse 39, "When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner.'" Jesus responds in verse 44. He says, "Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Simon, do you see this woman?'" And then he talks to the Pharisee. "I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, for the first time, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And so even when we eat with people who oppose us or oppose our message or look down on us because maybe we're not from the right side of the tracks or we're maybe not as wealthy or whatever it is, even when we do that, there are opportunities that God creates like this where, can you imagine this? Just think of the most important person in society sitting down inviting Jesus to a meal, and then a prostitute walks in off the street and begins to start washing his feet with her tears and with perfume. It's insane. It's amazing. But in that moment, a fellowship meal becomes a picture of the incredible grace of Jesus, and it also becomes an opportunity and a possibility for the Pharisee to change.
Amen.
So he sat and ate with his enemies. He also made lots of food for strangers. Wouldn't it be cool if Jesus was around today? With our economic crisis, wouldn't it be cool if he just if we had Jesus in church? I wonder if we could go up to him and say, okay, 2 liters, fresh cream milk, 100 grams of butter, and like give our list, and Jesus, I'm just playing. Wouldn't that be amazing? But remember, in ancient Israel, there wasn't electricity. Food was not something you could just go out to the store to get. There were markets. It was not like so available as we have food today. And so they're out far away, and Jesus begins to teach. And he then feeds 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves in Mark chapter 6, 35 to 44. In Mark chapter 8, 1 to 9, so that's the first one, it's 5,000 men. It doesn't mention women and children. The second one, 4,000 people he feeds with 7 loaves and some fish. I would say, if you've heard nothing else, that sharing a meal with someone is pretty important if we want to follow the life of Jesus. Fourthly, Jesus ate and lived. Lived and ate with his friends. Remember in Mark chapter 1, he spends the entire afternoon having a meal in his ministry time. You remember Mary and Martha. When Martha begins to grumble because she's doing all the work and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Even there, Jesus uses that as a time to teach her. Do you ever wonder why after the resurrection, what are some of the first things that Jesus does? He sits down, has a meal. The road to Emmaus, he sits down and has a meal with them. When they're fishing, he comes down, I think it's in John, and he makes some coals and he cooks some fish for his disciples. Why would it be so important for Jesus to do that? Like surely he had more important things to do. But he prioritizes eating together. So there's something deeply significant about this that perhaps we haven't understood before. Why did Jesus spend so much time indulging in this unspiritual activity? Why was sharing a meal one of his resurrection practices? What is the significance of fellowship meals? This is what I want to present to you. You still with me?
Yeah.
We should have like a screen here, as you can see. Many of you are just staring there like they were bald. This is what I want to suggest to you, and I'm quite convinced about it. Fellowship meals are a prophetic act of a future kingdom where we will sit down with God and have a meal in the new heaven and the new earth. And so every time I sit down and I have a meal with someone, it is a prophetic act. Today we're having the family meal, and we normally at communion look backwards. It's right to look backwards and to remember what Jesus has done, but we don't just look backwards. Because fellowship meals are looking forwards to a day and a time where we will eat together in perfect unity with God. And so, as many of you are convinced, listen to this prophecy in Isaiah 25. verse 6 to 9. I'll send out the notes in the week. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Isn't that amazing?